Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 Park Construction Section 1 Boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9. Respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, I'm attended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, Black Bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Row.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening. It's Monday night again, and that can only mean one thing. For those of you who are in the public safety and private security profession, it is time once again for the Private Officer Beat radio program sponsored by Private Officer International and Armor College. Yeah, here we are again Monday evening. It's been a long weekend, a lot going on, and we have a lot to tell you about as always. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, Rick McCann. We are certainly glad to be back with you here on this Monday evening, the 19th of May, 2014. My gosh, where is time going? For some of us, it's almost that start of summer, that big holiday that we look forward to every year. At the end of May, it's going to be Memorial Day next weekend. For others of us, we're still shoveling snow, especially if you're out in Utah, Wyoming, places in the Midwest. I just saw that they had another snowstorm over the weekend, and Denver got 6 inches about a week ago. And here we are. Well, some would say we're in the summer months, but evidently parts of the country hasn't gotten that memo yet. But we are really, 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 really busy and a lot going on. So it's just a great opportunity to be here with you tonight and have a chance to slow down and relax and sit back and just chit-chat with you for a while. Last week we had a chance to be out. We had the National Law Enforcement Week in Washington, D.C., always a great privilege to be with other officers to celebrate the lives of those who gave their life to protect another human life. You know, we often give the scripture, no greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for a friend, or in this case, for folks that they don't know. We also, it's an opportunity to meet a lot of great officers from across the country, and we love that opportunity. Also, this weekend in Gulf Shores, Alabama, I know a few of you folks said, where the hay is Gulf Shores, Alabama? Well, if you've never been there, you're certainly missing out, because Gulf Shores, Alabama is a beautiful blue-green water, white sugar beach, palm trees swaying in the breeze, right on the Gulf of Mexico, beautiful city, and the far southern end of Alabama near the Florida Panhandle. And every year for the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a huge music festival, about between 40 and 50,000 people. And we have a great opportunity to interview those in charge of security and law enforcement and keep up with what it takes to really secure a event that large. All of the travelers, all of the traffic right there on the beach. Hey, it's a tough assignment, I admit, but somebody had to do it. And, of course, we also had some coverage of security at NASCAR Racing and a few other events. And we're putting together all of the footage for our new TV program that's coming out here at the end of the summer, beginning of September, and we'll be having a lot more events that we'll be covering through the years. I'm looking forward myself to covering a few of them, especially the Albuquerque Balloon Festival, which happens every year. We got a chance last year to interview the security director, and I hope that you caught that episode. If not, you can go back through the catalog of our radio programs right here and on the POI radio and listen to that interview. It was fantastic, and I'll be taking him up on his offer to come out and shadow him during the 2014 Balloon Festival and some other events going on around the country that we're going to be out and about interviewing and taking some video and shadowing some folks, and we hope to be able to share all of that with you. Now, for those of you who have Twitter, and I just can't imagine anyone in this day and age being without Twitter, you have had the opportunity to follow us on Twitter throughout the weekend and to catch up with what's going on with us and all of the great events that we're attending, all the news. And it is Twitter, I think, is the best possible social media site. It's the best of all worlds. You can use it to communicate with folks. You can use it to broadcast emergency messages, broadcast the news, to reach a lot of people instantaneously. I mean, it's just amazing. We're getting an alert in right now, as a matter of fact. We just got a report of a earthquake has struck Big Bear region of California, evidently at 4:03 p.m. This is going to be Pacific, about an hour ago, if you're on the East Coast. Looks like about a 3.8 magnitude quake struck the Big Bear area. That is a resort area, if you're not familiar with it. And I believe it's up in the mountain area. So that's kind of an unusual place for an earthquake. We don't have any report of damage or injuries yet. This is just coming over the wire. But we will be following it up and let you know as soon as we find out what's going on out on the West Coast. But as I was saying, Twitter really is, Brett Davis, thank you for that information, by the way. My partner in the booth always Monday night and Wednesday afternoon, Brett Davis, glad that you're in with us. But Twitter is always the fastest, almost instant, media source, communication source, anytime something's going on, and we just love it. We can, you know, if you have a phone, then you can participate. You can get these messages almost instantly. And if you're not on Twitter, we highly recommend that you do so. We have a lot of news that we're going to talk about coming up after the first break. It's always good when we have a lot of interest in a particular topic, and that was the case when we interviewed 2 weeks ago Sal from the insurance firm in Connecticut. We talked a couple weeks ago about insurance A to Z and the underwriting process, and we had a lot of interest in that particular topic. There's a lot of folks out there who just don't understand how insurance is written, and we're talking about business insurance, car insurance, homeowners insurance. It's all there's a certain formula that all of them take and certain considerations given. And so there's a lot of information that you have to understand and know when you're seeking out certain type of insurance. And I hope that Sal was able to explain that thoroughly and that we answered your questions. But if you still have concerns or questions about insurance for your business or for a startup, then please send us an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we will try and assist you with that. If we can't, we're certainly going to be able to put you in touch with insurance, the writers and agents, and you know, I'm sure that they'll be able to help you out with the questions that you'll need and the information. We also, tonight, we're going to be talking about, am I an agent for the police? Have I been an agent? What is an agent? What's the risk? What's the liability? And so on and so forth. Over the last year, there's been several different incidents where security officers have unknowingly become agents for the police, and unfortunately were involved in some liability issues. In one case, even was charged criminally with an offense, and that's because of their own ignorance of what the law is, and they let someone con them or talk them into helping them out for the good of everyone, and unfortunately it was a security officer who was arrested, and in another couple of cases, security officers were sued. So it is important to understand what being an agent for police entails, what the risks and liabilities are, what could happen criminally to you. It's not just we're trying to do the right thing, we're trying to help the police, we're trying to be buddies with them, we're trying to help them to do their job. It's a little bit more than that, and you have to understand the legalities. As with everything, we're always talking about the law. We're always trying to explain. Know the law of the land. Know the statutes, the criminal statutes in your state, because they do vary from state to state. Understand the civil litigation that, you know, the job that you're in, there's always that opportunity. The job that you're in, we're in a very litigious country, and so always know the legalities, the liabilities, and the risk, and understand the civil law and the criminal law because they are so different. And just because you can't be arrested doesn't mean you can't be sued. And then, you know, you have an opportunity there to lose your property, get a judgment, and maybe even a garnishment on your wages. A whole bunch of bad things could happen to you. So it's very important that you understand the criminal law and the civil law. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight about, you know, being an agent for the police, what that entails, and why that's not always a good thing. We're also very excited about the upcoming months. You know, summer, like I just said a moment ago, is right around the corner, believe it or not, even though out in some parts of the Midwest, it's, you know, they're still dealing with some snow, as I said, but there's a lot going on, and we're going to be talking about some of the upcoming events here in a moment. While we're on the air, you can always email us at radio@privateofficer.com if you have any questions or you want to submit any news or training event or ask anything at all, radio@privateofficer.com. You can also use that email address if you want to send us a message after we're off the air and you might be listening later tonight or next week. Or maybe 6 months from now. Our radio broadcasts are cataloged and always available on demand at iTunes and several other digital formats, and, of course, right here on the POI network. So use it anytime, day or night. You can always contact us 24 hours a day simply by sending an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Even though our administrative offices are not open 24/7, our help desk is always staffed and someone is always monitoring the emails, and they'll be able to help you. And if they can't, they will forward your email to the appropriate person, and we will get with you on the following day. You can also follow us on Facebook or, my favorite, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, our own social media site, and a number of others simply by going to our homepage at www.privateofficer.com, www.privateofficer.com. And right there from the homepage, you will be able to link up with all of our social media. You'll be able to link up with our breaking news page. You'll be able to listen to our radio shows and so much more at privateofficer.com. Well, we are going to take our first break. We'll be right back after these messages.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket, that's pretty easy to remember.
We spend lots of time online. We text, we comment, we share. It's a big part of our lives. But communicating with someone online is just like talking to them in real life. Everyone appreciates politeness, and no one likes it when people make fun, spread gossip, rumors, or lies. The fact is, some people do try to hurt others online. It's called cyberbullying, and it's a lose-lose situation. It makes the person being harassed feel bad, and it makes the bully look bad. It might lead to trouble with school authorities or even the police. If someone's harassing you online, it's important not to respond. That's because bullies are looking for a reaction. Block them if you can. Ignore them if you can't. If it continues, save the evidence and ask an adult for help. And don't be afraid to stand up for yourself or to stand up for someone else being cyberbullied. This behavior usually stops pretty quickly when someone speaks up. And when you're communicating online, remember to treat people the way you'd like to be treated. Know how to handle yourself, because being online is part of your life. So stop and think before you click.
All right, we are back on the Private Officer Beat radio program. Glad that you are joining us this evening. You know that last message about cyberbullying? Well, earlier today I was reading a news article, and I could not believe the gist of the article. In a town in Wisconsin, a few days ago, it appears, or not really appears, it is a fact that a father went and got a restraining order against a five-year-old child, 5 years old, who was a student in his son's kindergarten class. And evidently, this five-year-old kindergarten student was bullying, according to the father, his son. And somehow, and I really can't understand the legalities or the reasoning, but somehow this dad was able to convince a judge that the five-year-old student was a bully and a threat to this father's child, and a restraining order was issued. I mean, I can't fathom it. A restraining order was issued against the five-year-old kindergartner bully. My gosh, is that not a miscarriage of justice? Is that not a waste of our court system? Is that not a waste of our tax dollars? First of all, how could a judge issue a restraining order against a child who doesn't understand what he's doing? Yeah, maybe he's mean. Maybe he even physically attacked the other kindergarten student. But these are children, 5 years old. They certainly don't understand the totality of their actions. They certainly don't understand the law. For a parent to take that egregious step and go into court and file documents to say that this five-year-old kindergarten child was a threat, was a bully, and for a judge to actually agree and sign off the paper and issue that restraining order, that is ludicrous. I mean, it is really unthinkable. It must have been a kangaroo court, because who would do such a thing? Who would file that type of paperwork against a five-year-old, and who, being a judge, a lawyer, would approve it? It doesn't make any sense. If the children are having a problem, move them to a different classroom. Sit them down. Explain to them about bullying and about fighting and right and wrong. Make them shake hands and make up. You know, kids, you know, today they're fighting and tomorrow they're best friends. That's the way it's always been. I could tell you some stories of my own childhood, but we don't have time. I mean, kids are that way. So for the parent to push it this extreme and go and get a restraining order, I don't understand that, and certainly I don't understand the judge in this case either. Well, this past week, as you probably know, our news and help desk is constantly tracking the news, hundreds and hundreds of news sites every day, 7 days a week, 365 plus days a year, even on the holidays, yes, even Christmas, we are always tracking the news. And last week, there were at least three, we know of three for sure, judgments or settlements against security companies resulting in several million dollars worth of judgments or settlements. In one particular case, a lawsuit filed in Coral Gables, Florida, against the former Wackenhut security company, now owned by G4S, a young lady alleged that a security officer was taking pictures of her naked or semi-naked, and the security officer was arrested last year on the charge, and then he was sued after being found guilty, along with Wackenhut, a.k.a. G4S, and the jury gave them $1.3 million on Thursday because the security officer had previously been arrested for similar charges of peeping Tom-type charges, and yet he was hired by Wackenhut, a.k.a. G4S. And so the jury ruled that the security company was negligent. And so rather than a judgment against the individual security officer, the judgment was actually against the security company. Also this past week, a security company in Macon, Georgia, gave up around $600,000 in a settlement to security officers. Armed security officers evidently held a man against his will, assaulted him. Holding someone against their will is compatible or considered to be kidnapping or unlawful restraint. And the security company was sued by the victim and for several million dollars. And during the court case, the client and the security company found that their contract was loosely worded. It didn't say what the duties of the security officer was. The client, the apartment complex, tried to blame the security company. The security company tried to blame the client. But the contract was loosely worded, and it wasn't explicit in the duties. And it didn't say whether the security officer should be armed or unarmed. And what happened in this case was that both the security company and the property management company settled out of court for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And in a third situation, this was in Michigan or Illinois, another security company was sued for $25 million, and they settled out of court for an undisclosed amount of money, which usually means considerable amount. And then they withdrew their lawsuit. Again, this was something where a security officer violated the law and violated the contract. And, you know, there's dozens of lawsuits filed every month against private security companies and security officers. That's why we say that contracts have to be explicit in their language. And all of the duties are to be spelled out line by line and agreed upon, signed. Post orders are not considered contracts. And even though they are an order of what should be done, unless they are made to be part of that contract and both parties sign off on it, the courts have ruled that post orders are not contracts, only advisory regulations. So be sure that your contracts are detailed from A to Z. We also noticed that in many of these lawsuits, it's all about one of three things. Training. There's always a training issue. Excessive force, unlawful arrest, assault. And they always ask for the same thing. Training records. Training certification. And unfortunately, most companies do a very poor job of documenting their training, documenting anything that happens with their employee. And in many cases, the standard of training is below par. Unfortunately, many states still do not require adequate training. And so that's always been an issue. So training is one of the top reasons. Unlawful arrest is a top reason for a lawsuit. And also, or false arrest. Also, we find excessive force cases. We also see a number of times where it boils down to poor management of the employee. Oftentimes, security companies will hire people, put them on the post, put them out on the assignment, never go and check on them, never do routine inspection, never have anyone check up on their employees. And that is considered poor management and poor oversight. And so lawsuits can be filed, for that. And oftentimes the security companies fail to defend themselves because they have no records of those inspections, no records of those trainings. And it's just, it's something that we see and talk about frequently. And unfortunately, that's still a big issue in the industry. We last week there was a shooting at a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and evidently security was made aware of a possible burglary into a vehicle. It was in the afternoon on Friday. When security responded, they saw someone trying to flee. They tried to stop the person, and he evidently pulled a firearm, and these security officers were armed, and shots were fired, and they shot and killed the suspect. Now, today, we found out that the suspect was carrying a firearm that was stolen, and that the security officers responded properly and used good self-defense. Now, in Oklahoma, they have a reasonable curriculum for training and requirement of security personnel to be licensed and to have certain training requirements, firearm qualifications. And so I'm sure that that officer's training, those officers that were involved, the training kicked in, and it had a lot to do with the successful outcome of them using the right amount of force and staying safe. And I'm sure that, if we have an opportunity to interview these officers that were involved, that it's going to boil down to that same thing. We see a number of cases where security officers make good decisions. But most of the time, when that happens, when they make the right decision for the use of force, it can be traced right back to a state, working in a state that requires a substantial amount of training, such as Texas, California, Virginia, Oklahoma, and a number of others. In the states that require no training or very minimal training, we find that security officers often make mistakes. Again, it all boils down to training. Training, training, training. Speaking of training, coming up in Baltimore, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Stamford, Connecticut, Atlanta, Georgia, Columbus, Ohio, New Orleans, we've got two-day training events free of charge, workplace violence, use of force, and also active shooter. All that you have to do is enroll or register online at privateofficer.com/STS. If you would like to sponsor a two-day training event in your town, simply email us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Go to our website, privateofficer.com, and register today. I mean, it's not very often that you're going to get 2 days of free training. I often go to seminars. I got one to go to next week. It costs hundreds of dollars, but we are giving them to you free in celebration of our 10-year anniversary and in conjunction with the sponsors that we've had throughout the various parts of the country. Again, go to our website at privateofficer.com and register today.
It's for my wife.
My husband still doesn't know the real story about that dent in the van.
I've never told her that I used to be a lifeguard at a nude beach.
I've never told my kids about the time I was arrested for streaking.
My friends don't know that I still sleep with my teddy bear.
But they all do know one thing about me.
And that I'm an organ donor.
That I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
And that's one thing that's too important to keep a secret. Because I could save somebody's life. How cool is that?
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
All right, you are listening to the Private Officer Beat, sponsored by Private Officer International and Armor College, a public safety school. Go to our website at privateofficer.com today and become a member. You're going to have more than 40 member benefits, a lot of free and discounted training. We're adding new benefits all the time. In fact, we have a brand new insurance benefit that we'll be kicking off next month. Check out armorcollege.org, a public safety school. If you are involved in EMS or the fire service, private security, public safety, you're a PI, or somewhere in between, there are dozens of courses available to you today at at armorcollege.org. It's been a long weekend, and we're still a little tired. Tonight, we're going to be talking here shortly about being an agent for law enforcement, being an agent for police, and what that involves, and whether or not that really is a good or bad thing, because, you know, there is some liability, there is some risk, and it can even pose a criminal problem, and criminal charges could even be filed against you in some cases. So, you know, it's a really touchy topic, but we'll be talking about that shortly. We have an opportunity for you to advertise on our websites, radio shows, and newsletters. If you own a business, whether it be a security-related business or a uniform company or a sign shop or anything that would be of interest to our members across the country and around the globe, we invite you to become an advertiser with the POI Network. Now, if you choose to advertise with Private Officer International, for one price, your advertisement will be posted on our website, in our newsletters, on our radio programs, and in several other social media sites. And so we have a complete program for just one price. If you want to know more, send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Talking about the newsletter, hey, if you're not receiving that newsletter that we send out 3 or 4 times a week, just chock full of news and information, be sure to sign up for it today. Go to our website at privateofficer.com. You can sign up for it right there from the homepage. It's important to stay informed not only about the news, but what's happening at POI and the events coming up, the training that we're offering. It's important that you stay on top of it all. And if you follow us on Twitter, then you obviously are on top of it all, because everything that we do, we announce through Twitter. We also post it at Facebook, but like I said, we find that Twitter, we can actually reach more people quicker, almost instantly, on Twitter. So if you're not following us there, be sure to join us, Twitter at Private Officer. We will be, this rest of this year, we will be very busy continuing with our two-day free training seminars. We'll be celebrating our 10-year anniversary later this year with a special event. And, of course, we also have the Private Officer Memorials coming up in September. If you would like to donate to the Private Officer Memorial Fund, where we assist security personnel injured on the job or families of those who have been killed in the line of duty, go to our website at privateofficer.com and you can donate there today. If you specifically want to help out with the memorial services that we do every year as we travel around the country and try and do as many memorial services as possible, you can do either a direct donation or you can do a sponsorship. And if you need more information, send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Support us. Support us. Help us to help others. A lot of people sit back in the shadows. A lot of people think that we're just a big conglomerate and we're just financially able to help everyone and do everything, and they don't have to be a part of it financially, and that's just not the way that it works. We need your assistance. Help us through becoming a member of the association. Help us through your donation. Help us by volunteering. We need folks on our committees, folks who will help us in a number of things that we're doing with the legislative committee, the awards committee, the benefit committee. You know, there's different things that you can get involved in. Again, if you need more information, please send us an email at helpdesk, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Sound like a broken record. We always want folks to get involved, and we try to put that message out there so that you understand the importance and the urgency, because we can't do it all. We really can't. All right, tonight we are, for a few moments, going to be talking about being an agent for the police. Am I an agent? What is a police agent? We're going to talk a little bit about the legalities, about the considerations that you should have. Now, the two areas that we see security personnel frequently use as agents of the police are schools and apartments. So what really are we talking about when we say being an agent for the police? And why is that not a good thing all the time? Well, it kind of boils down to this in a nutshell. If you as a security officer are asked to do something by a law enforcement agent that they normally could not do for themselves, then you are in essence an agent for police. So let me give you an example. You're working at a high school. Now, a school resource officer comes to you and says, I need to get into Billy Bob's locker. Now, I don't want to get into the legal technicalities of it all, but for some reason, the officer convinces you to open that locker instead of him, and he finds drugs or weapons or other contraband. You have become an agent for the police. There was a reason why the law enforcement officer could not open that locker. You see, in some states, laws are different. Maybe he needed a search warrant. Maybe he needed some other authorization. A police officer comes up to a high school security officer and says, "Hey, I suspect that guy over there has drugs in his backpack. Would you go over and inspect his backpack? Tell him it's school policy. Tell him you're doing a routine inspection." And you follow through. You go over. You stop the student. You tell them you have to search the backpack, that it's all just a routine inventory, routine inspection. And you find drugs. You find contraband, firearm. Yeah, that's a great thing. You've taken a gun off the campus. You've taken drugs off the campus. That's a great thing. But the problem is, if the police officer uses a private person, such as a security officer, to circumvent the law, to circumvent policy, to circumvent and find another way around procedure, then it's not a good thing. First of all, in the law, there's something called the fruit of the poisonous tree. So if that police officer obtains that narcotic or weapons illegally by circumventing the law, if he makes it to court, there's a good chance that that's going to be thrown out because it was the fruit of the poisonous tree. He circumvented the law, the procedures, the policies of his own agency to accomplish that goal. Remember, if a law enforcement officer asks you to do something that they normally could not lawfully do, you become a co-conspirator in a crime, because if you recover the drugs, if you recover the firearm, you have to answer to the law, whether that be to the criminal aspect or the civil aspect of the law. Now, we see this frequently in schools. And the reason why we're doing this topic, discussing this topic tonight, is over the past year, we've had a number of incidents and several people call and want to know if they did something wrong. They were just trying to help law enforcement. And we see this in apartments. Just recently, in an apartment complex in Memphis, Tennessee, police asked the security to set up a checkpoint. They were looking for a specific targeted vehicle believed to be a resident of the complex. Now, they'd seen the vehicle enter and leave the complex before, and so they had the private security officer set up a checkpoint one night looking for this particular vehicle. And they asked those security personnel to do a search of the vehicle and see if they could come up with any drugs or guns. And then they could call the police, but the officer would actually be on the property and he'd be the first one to arrive. And sure enough, they set up the checkpoint. They began looking for a specific vehicle, and that vehicle did eventually come through the checkpoint. And they searched it. And evidently, he had some drugs, and he had a firearm illegally. And an arrest was made. Police were called. And the officer hiding on the property became a hero. He was the first on the scene. He slapped the cuffs on the suspect. He recovered the gun and the drugs, and everything was all hunky-dory. Until the defense attorney for the suspect got involved. And do you know what was called to attention immediately in the court? Well, I see here by the dispatch log that the call came in at 2:03 a.m. and you got out on the call, officer, at 2:03 a.m. Where were you? Were you behind one of the apartment buildings? Were you sitting across the street? Were you and the security officers involved in some type of collusion, some type of agreement to stop my defendant here, to stop my client? Was this an illegal operation? Were the security guards agents for you, for the police? Up until that point, everything looked good. Everything looked like it was great. We got a criminal off the street. We've got guns. We've got drugs. We've got everything. It was a great capture. Or so they thought. But little bit by little bit, their stories began to unravel. And it was clear that it had been a setup of sorts. You see, under oath, the security officer admitted he had been asked what could he say? All right, yeah, I did it. I was asked by the cop. I did it. I was searching for that car. I thought I was doing the right thing. I was helping him out. We made a good bust. We did a good thing. We did a good job. But unfortunately, they say justice is blind. If the police ask you to do something that they can't do, then you are becoming an agent for the police. Now that is different than if the police ask you to help them. You're at the school football game and the police ask you to help to inspect packages and purses at the gate. That is a standard procedure that's done every game night. And the officer is there doing those inspections, and he asks you to help. Now you're not an agent for the police. Now you are providing security services. But if the officer asks you specifically, hey, go over there and check that car and see if they got anything, now you're an agent for the police. If they ask you to do something that they normally can't do, won't do, prohibited from doing, then you could be in trouble. You could find yourself arrested for possession. You could find yourself arrested for unlawful restraint. You could find yourself in court being sued for a whole slew of civil violations. You got to be careful, folks. You have to understand your limitations. You have to understand the civil and the criminal law. You have to know when you're being set up, even by a law enforcement officer. I'm pro-law enforcement. I want to help them. I want to do the right thing. I want to put the bad guy in jail. But I want to do it the right way. I don't want there to be any question whatsoever about ethics, about legal violations, about being in collusion, even with the police. Understand what it means to be an agent for the police. Don't be naive. Oh, I'm just doing a little favor. We're not doing anything wrong. I'm just helping the police. If he can't do it because he's restricted, then you can't do it. You see, in order for the police to stop a vehicle, they have to have probable cause, even if it's only a red light violation or he failed to signal something. He needs some type of reason to lawfully pull over a vehicle. And if he can't find a legal, lawful reason, and he uses you, the security officer, to stop a vehicle in the parking lot, then you've just become an agent for the police. And one of the other problems is that in some states, confidential informants and assistants have to be registered. And so if he's using you, the security officer, to feed him information that he otherwise couldn't obtain, there might be a problem there as well. If you act as an agent for the police and obtain any contraband, any illegal items, without some reasonable suspicion, without some legal justification, I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be thrown out of court. Even though you're not a police officer, at the time that you made that recovery of the merchandise or recovery of the weapon or drugs, you are acting as an agent of the police. And what that means is that you have to abide by the same standards as a police officer. And that's why any contraband that you recover more than likely will be tossed out of court as fruit of the poisonous tree. Be careful when you're out there dancing the dance. Like I said, and I've said this many times, good intentions, bad decisions. Good intentions. We want to do the right thing. We want to help the police. But we're making the bad choice, misinformed choice. And if it doesn't feel right, if something in your stomach says, no, this doesn't equate to me, then you're going to be better off walking away and not getting involved. Well, I don't want to hurt the officer's feeling. I don't want to make it look like I'm not a professional. I don't want them to think that I'm just a cop wannabe. I'd rather have them think any of those things than for me to wind up in court or in jail. Three things to consider. Are you being asked to do something that the police officer can't do or wouldn't do normally? Do you have a legal reason to make that stop, to check that vehicle, to search that backpack? Is there a policy on the property that allows you, and is it displayed, is it written, is it known to the public? Or are you making up the rules as you go? And the third thing to consider, is this some kind of trick? Is the officer out to get me? Am I going to get in trouble? Is there a potential for me to be sued by any of the people involved? Is there a potential for me to be arrested for anything? You see, you can't, and I just had this discussion a couple of months ago, you can't just stop someone and detain them for no reason. That's an unlawful arrest. In some states, they call it kidnapping, unlawful restraint. Well, the police officer told me go over here and check this guy out for weapons and search him real good. But you didn't have any suspicion or probable cause. You had no legal justification. You were acting as an agent for the police, and therefore, you have to follow the same standard that the officer would. And if you don't have that probable cause, you don't have that justification, you just messed up. Good intentions. Bad decisions. If you're working in schools, apartments, shopping malls, or other public places where you have frequent contact with law enforcement, be sure you can assist them as long as they are with you side by side and willing to do everything that they ask you to do. That's great. It's when they ask you to do something different on their behalf that they're not willing to do or lawfully can't do that you are becoming an agent for the police and opening yourself up for great civil liability and even criminal charges. Never extend yourself. Never volunteer, "Oh, I'll do that. You want me to go over there and do that? I'll do that." I remember one time at a shopping mall, the police officer and the security officer was out in the parking lot. It was a weeknight or weekend, and one of the local kids came through burning rubber, and the officer couldn't make the traffic stop because it was on private property. "Well, I'll do that," the security guard said. "I'll do that." And he jumped in and turned on his orange lights and went speeding down the road, and the police officer pulled up behind him, and the security officer went over and started giving the driver heck about the way he was driving, and the police officer, you know, right away he spots narcotics in the vehicle. Now he has probable cause, and he makes an arrest. But unfortunately, the charges were dropped because the security officer had no justification for making a traffic stop. He couldn't make a traffic stop. It wasn't part of his duties. And the police officer used the security officer to make that traffic stop on private property that he couldn't. So all charges were dropped. Be sure that you're not acting as an agent for law enforcement, and if you are, that you are abiding by the law. That's all for tonight. Thanks for being with us here on the Private Officer Beat. Join us next time, and until then, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.